Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! Ha-ha! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Again, going over some of the best interviews and segments that we have had throughout the years. We close out 2017. It was definitely a fun year for Drive Time Sports. On today's show, we're going to mix it up a little bit. We are going to talk to Antoine Staley. We're going to replay this interview as we gear up for the Utah Utes Bowl Contest, which will take place tomorrow. We talk college football in general, including the Pac-12. A lot of great stuff. We're going to dive into that in just a moment. And then I'm going to replay a couple of interviews that we did in 2017. We always go out to NASCAR in Las Vegas in March. This year for the live show, David Ragan, well-known NASCAR driver, sat down and joined us for a terrific segment. We're going to replay that interview for you. Great to get that perspective. And also Daniel Graham. He joined us right before the Super Bowl. He won a couple of championships with the Patriots, knows Tom Brady well. He joined us to talk about what makes that organization click. Even talked about Robert Kraft. It's a great best of edition of Drive Time Sports. It's coming up right after this on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
News Talk KOAL's Jordan Buscarini covers all the pros and lots more, like high school and college teams.
Straight away three ball. Good! Philip Winston from the top of the key.
These are the sports that are closest to home. When you've got a guy like Jordan, you can cover it all. Drive Time Sports.
Here we go, here we go!
Weekdays from 4 to 5 on News Talk 107.3 FM, 750 AM, KOAL.
Pinnacle Peak Pharmacy, located adjacent to the Castle View Urgent Care Center, is your new neighborhood pharmacy. Pinnacle Peak Pharmacy accepts all insurance providers and can help you transfer your existing prescriptions over. It's as simple as stopping in and providing them with the necessary information, or you can call them at 637-3667. They also offer the only pharmacy drive-up window in Carbon County. Pinnacle Peak Pharmacy, your neighborhood pharmacy.
There was a day when you could gather your employees around a table for a morning staff meeting, pull out a box of donuts, and everyone got excited. Well, sorry, boss, it just isn't working anymore. We've discovered Big Mo's breakfast menu with a choice of several homemade breads for toast, eggs cooked up just how I like them, and the pancakes. Mmm, so delicious. Dare to change things up to get your staff's attention and have your next morning meeting at Big Mo's. Friendly service, delicious food, and great prices. Find them on 700 East in Price.
Tis the season for shopping, and sales seem to be popping up everywhere. Well, Desert View Federal Credit Union has got a sale for you. How about a car loan for 2.99% APR? That's right, now you can save on interest too by getting your auto loan at Desert View Federal Credit Union. Go ahead, get that new car for Christmas. This holiday loan special won't be around for long, so be sure to get into a branch today.
Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA.
At Castleview Physical Therapy, they know your health is very important to you. That is why they take pride in offering you the highest quality of rehabilitation. Castleview is the only clinic in the area to be able to offer aquatic therapy. Their warm water pool is inviting and effective in providing a safe method to heal injuries. They are happy to offer this service that has been proven to be one of the best rehab environments to make exercise safer, more relaxing, and less painful. Come in and see how Castleview's aquatic therapy can help make your road to recovery a pleasant one. Call Castleview Physical Therapy today at 636-4841.
You were listening to the best of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 107.3 FM, 7.50 AM. We're going to talk college football for this segment. We're counting down. We're actually a week away from the Utah Utes Bowl game, which you'll be able to listen to live right here on KOAL. But there's also several other topics floating around. And joining us to talk college football, we have Antoine Staley of the USA Today and also Athlon Sports. Antoine, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show. I appreciate the time today.
It's good to be on, Jordan. Thanks for having me again.
Definitely. Antoine, you have a vote for the Heisman. I haven't talked to you since the Heisman ceremony. Baker Mayfield wins the Heisman. No surprise there. What's your response to the reaction of the public knowing that Baker Mayfield has now won the Heisman? Because it was kind of a mixed reaction from the public, which I guess was to be expected, right?
Yeah, especially considering some of the antics that he had on the field. I think a lot of people, I know we had talked about that in particular, and he had some off-the-field stuff previously as well. The Heisman is a kind of representation of the face of college football, at least for that particular year. So I think it was a segment of the public that didn't think he deserved to win it. Ultimately, I usually leave it on the field. I thought Baker Mayfield was the best player in college football this year, and he's well-deserving, and that's who I voted for as well. So I had no problem with putting him number one on the ballot, to be completely honest with you.
I think it was pretty easy, actually. I mean, again, it depends on how you view it. Like, if you view the on-the-field antics as a detriment, obviously you're not going to vote for Baker Mayfield. If your main objective is to vote for the best player in college football, you had no choice but to vote for Baker Mayfield. So I can see both sides of the argument.
Yeah, I think it's definitely. But, I mean, yeah, Lamar Jackson there, Bryce Love. I voted for both of them second and third. But ultimately, I mean, you got Baker Mayfield there. And also the fact that Oklahoma is in the college football playoff and they're playing Georgia. So also you have to look at that factor as well. Where would Oklahoma be without Baker Mayfield? Definitely not in the college football playoff, I don't think. And you had Stanford. I mean, I know they had a decent season, but it wasn't nothing outstanding like Oklahoma or some of the teams in the playoff. And Louisville, I mean, they definitely had it. They were at a down year, especially considering they had a much better year a year ago, and they only had one loss heading into their last two games, and then they kind of had like a struggle throughout the last season. They lost to Kentucky, lost their bowl game to LSU, so they were kind of down then, but their season was definitely disappointing compared to how it was last year. So I just feel like, I know kind of like some people look at it as an MVP type award as well. But in the end, yeah, Oklahoma really performed well on the field. And also Baker Mayfield was a big part of that.
Again, we're being joined right now by Antoine Staley of Athlon Sports and also the USA Today as we talk college football. Antoine, I want to move on and talk about a different topic. It's really interesting. I think if you talk to 10 people, you may get five different opinions on this. We'll go to the Las Vegas Bowl. Royce Freeman was such an interesting character in this game because Freeman decided he wasn't going to play in the contest, didn't want to play in the Vegas Bowl, but he was there on the sidelines, and he was actually giving his team a prep talk. I'm curious as to your opinion on Royce Freeman and his decision.
I mean, I don't have a problem. I know some people have a problem with players not playing in a bowl game. I don't. If you're playing, first of all, if you're a senior or whether you're a junior or whatever the case may be, and you're going on to the NFL where you have to protect your investment, and your investment is your body. And we've seen freak injuries happen on the field during some of these games. Sometimes senior bowl, things of that nature, people get hurt. So you don't want to risk that injury. I'm not saying a meaningless game. Obviously, a bowl. I love the bowl system. I love the bowl season. I think it's great for college football. But these players are playing sometimes, I mean, for a bigger prize. And you have to look at it from their perspective, too. They may have family members that are also dependent on them to make it in the league and to make money for them. I don't have a problem with Freeman deciding to skip the bowl game. As far as the pep talk, I thought it was great just to give those players that motivation to go out and win, because I think those players still respect him. They still understand he has bigger dreams, and he has bigger aspirations in the NFL, and he's really trying to make sure he doesn't get hurt prior to that. So I really don't have a big problem with it. I know it's been a controversial topic, but yeah, I really understand it from their point of view.
The only thing I have a problem with, he's not the only player on that Oregon team with a chance to go to the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. That's definitely true. Me personally, I think they should play in the bowl game. But if somebody decided, oh, okay, I'm not going to play in the bowl game, then that's fine, too. I think it's a personal decision. I don't think you're seeing – it's not a wave where you're seeing a lot of players are doing it. I just think certain select players have decided that's what they're going to do. But, yeah, I get that perspective, too, because it's going to be other players from Oregon that are going to play in the NFL, too. It's just that they want to play in a bowl game and maybe improve your stock as well. I think playing in a bowl game, you're on a different – I mean, you're in a showcase game, especially that Saturday afternoon spot, and you're giving people opportunities to see you play, and that might improve your draft spot, too.
Let's look at some of the bowl games that we've had already. We had the Vegas Bowl. We had the RL Carriers New Orleans Bowl. We had the Cure Bowl. We had the New Mexico Bowl. We've had the Camellia Bowl. Out of those games, which ones have you watched, and which one was most entertaining to you?
I definitely was keeping an eye on the Las Vegas Bowl there, even though Boise State pretty much commanded the entire game. So I definitely kept an eye on the Troy North Texas game. That was crazy. Troy ended up putting up 50 points, and North Texas got a little bit closer in that one. And then Middle Tennessee State and Arkansas State, the Camellia Bowl, that was also entertaining as well. I mean, I watched them all. Al Marshall ended up beating Colorado State in the New Mexico Bowl. So I think, for the most part, the bowl games have been really entertaining. I know a lot of people really focus on the big-time games, but we got some entertaining possible games. We got a game tonight, actually, the Boca Raton Bowl between FAU and Akron. That could be entertaining. I know FAU has been a story that people are keeping an eye on. They've won 10 games. Of course, Lane Kiffin is big in the news. That's a game that's on ESPN. So you can definitely tune in there and kind of see what's been going on with the Owls program.
You talked about improving draft stock. The Wyoming Central Michigan Idaho Potato Bowl, that features a kid that's probably going to be a top 10 pick in the NFL draft that could definitely help his case on the national scale.
Yeah, you got Josh Allen there. He plans to play in the bowl game. I think he should play in the bowl game. I mean, I know he's dealt with a shoulder injury through a lot of the season, but he wants to improve his stock. He wants to be one of the top quarterbacks taken. And a lot of people talk about Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen, and some people are kind of sprinkling Lamar Jackson and also Baker Mayfield. So he's kind of lost some traction that he had at the beginning of the year. But yeah, I think it's important for him to play, and he understands that this will be the last opportunity to improve his draft stock. So I think that's why he's deciding to play, and that's the benefit of having these bowl games on a showcase platform where you don't have another game or it's not a whole lot of other college football games going on at the same time.
Yeah, I try to tell people with the bowl games, all we have to hope for is a great matchup. That's it. I mean, throw the name out. We just need a good matchup.
Yeah, and you just want to be entertained, and a lot of these games are high-scoring games. It's hard to get a gauge for these teams, and there's really not a lot of defense being played anyway. And, you know, the teams that you have playing in these games don't particularly, especially early on, don't particularly play defense really well. So you end up getting matchups like a North Texas toy game or very high-scoring. So I fully expect, especially the Birmingham Bowl, I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair. I wouldn't be surprised if both teams score in the 40s.
Antoine, before I let you go, I want to talk Pac-12 here for a moment. It was recently announced that Herm Edwards is now the head coach of Arizona State. It's been a long time since Herm Edwards has coached college football, and I know that the recruiting game is changing almost daily. That's why this was a surprise to me. Your thoughts on Herm Edwards going to Arizona State?
It's interesting. It's something completely out the box. I know a lot of people, some people thought Todd Graham shouldn't have been fired. He thought he should have been given another year at the upset victory over number 5 Washington at the time. I'm curious to see how that's going to go, especially considering Herm has not really coached anything in about a decade. So now you have him throwing in the midst college football, something that he's not coaching college football, I think, since the late 80s something like that. So now it's a recruiting game. I know he does a well talk to the players. He was with Elite 8 camps and really motivating players. But getting players to come and buy into your system is a whole completely different animal and something that he hasn't done in a very long time. And you know, you're dealing in an animal with the Pac-12 where you have a USC. You have UCLA with Chip Kelly now. Even Arizona with Rich Rodriguez is there, so it's gonna be interesting to see how this works out and how much time Arizona State gives them to bring in his program.
Well, When's the last time a conference had this much intrigue around the coaching carousel during an offseason? I can't recall.
No, it's been a while. I'm curious to see what Chip Kelly does out there at UCLA. We know what he did in Oregon, really put them, well, got them to another level. I feel like they were good anyway, but brought them to a level that had them competing for national championships, obviously. Think about 2010 when they played Cam Newton and Auburn. Now, and then you even got the, on the other side. You have a lot of star-studded talent as far as coaching. Obviously, you still have Chris Peterson in Washington, Mike Leach at Washington State. It's definitely star-studded, and it's going to be something that people keep their eye on this year. I already watched Pac-12 After Dark anyway on ESPN, so it's definitely going to keep my eye, especially if you have Arizona State on there, just to keep an eye on what Herm Edwards and Chip Kelly is doing out there at UCLA.
We'll end with this, Antoine. I'm still of the mindset of it being a Clemson-Georgia national championship with Georgia coming out on top. Still got time to change that. But your thoughts, your early predictions on the national championship since we have you on.
Right now I would tend to lean that way. I had made an official prediction, which I'm going to have to in the upcoming days. But, yeah, I think Clemson, to me, they're a better team than Alabama. Alabama just has the name. Obviously, Nick Saban's won 5 national championships, most of them being with Alabama. So that's why they're the favorite. But I feel like Clemson is just, they're clicking. We saw it up there in Charlotte with Miami. They just pretty completely dominated the Hurricanes. And I know Alabama's a better team than Miami, but I think this is just their time. And this Clemson team might even be better than the one that won the title last year. That's how scary it is. And looking at Georgia, what they would do, just kind of suffocated that Auburn offense the second time they played them. And now you're playing a team in Oklahoma that really doesn't play defense as well. I don't think they play defense as well as Auburn. And they like to score a lot of points, but this Georgia defense is one of the best in the country, and they're going to look at some other Baker Mayfield, and I think they're going to be able to do it. So I think if you put a gun to my head, forcing me to make a pick right now, that's kind of what I would go. I think Clemson is going to win the national championship for the second straight year, but it wouldn't be surprised me if Georgia would have won it too, especially considering how great their defense is.
Antoine, before I let you go, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Athlon Sports, also at USA Today, covering the Dolphins, covering their last 2 games of the season, barring a miracle of them getting into the playoffs. But yeah, you can find my work there. We're covering bowl games, doing team awards right now for each individual team. So you can check out my work there at Athlon Sports and also USA Today. Also find me on Twitter at Antoine Saylor.
Hey, you just told your followers the other day not to mention the Dolphins in the playoffs, and you gave it a plug.
I just say barring a miracle. Yeah, barring a miracle. I never was on that bandwagon to begin with, but people, after they won the Patriots game, people were like, we got a chance. I was like, let them beat Buffalo first, and then we'll start talking. But obviously that didn't happen. But they are mathematically still alive.
Yeah.
Going ahead into Kansas City on Sunday.
Antoine, it's always fun to get you on the show. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Jordan.
We got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return.
Mom guilt. We all feel it. Our after-school hours are packed with games, practices, lessons, homework. Between work, grocery shopping, laundry, cleaning the house, how do you do it all and still get a delicious meal on the table every night? Moms, it's time to let it go. KFC has dinner covered. Pick up an 8-piece meal deal tonight. KFC's Extra Crispy $20 fill-up has 8 pieces of crunchy extra crispy chicken, a large coleslaw, 4 biscuits, and 2 large mashed potatoes and gravy. Enough for the whole family. Feed the family and make it to all your events, too. With KFC, it's always a win-win.
Hello, this is Dr. Blake Hillstead from Castle Valley Orthodontics. We are a state-of-the-art orthodontic office specializing in braces and Invisalign for children, teenagers, and adults. We provide complimentary consultations to help you achieve the best smile possible. We accept most insurance plans in Carbon and Emory counties and also accept all Medicaid insurance plans. In addition, we offer flexible in-house financing at 0% interest to make orthodontic treatment fit within any budget. Call for a free consultation with me, Dr. Blake Hillstead, at 435-637-2222.
With winter just around the corner, golfing is one sport that just doesn't come to mind. But at TK's Pro Shop, winter is the perfect time to stock up on golfing accessories for Christmas. Just because you can't golf doesn't mean you can't be ready to. Stop into TK's Pro Shop at the Carbon Country Club.
Hi, this is Joe Peterson, the Chancellor of USU Eastern. I'm here to brag about an amazing student we have representing USU Eastern. Chandler Vincent is a welding student here at USU Eastern. He recently flew to Huntsville, Alabama to compete in the U.S. Open Welding Trials. After 4 days of nonstop welding, Chandler was named the USA WorldSkills Welding Champion. With this title, Chandler won $40,000 in tools and scholarships from the American Welding Society. Congratulations, Chandler. For more stories about the incredible students that we have here at USU Eastern, see our website, usueastern.edu.
Feeling stressed out lately? It might be because of your slow internet connection. According to recent studies, delays in loading web pages and videos increase our heart rate and produce a level of stress equivalent to watching a horror film. Let Emory Telcom help reduce your stress level. With eFiber from Emory Telcom, you'll get the highest internet speeds available. Internet speeds up, stress levels down. Fast downloads and TV like no other. Lower your stress level today and call Emory Telcom 613-9605.
You are listening to the best of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, counting down the days to Super Bowl 51, and of course you'll be able to follow all the live coverage and the game right here on KOAL. Live coverage is going to begin on Sunday at 12 p.m. Kickoff should be somewhere around 3 p.m. To help us gear up for this weekend's game, we are joined by Daniel Graham. He played tight end in the NFL, won two Super Bowl rings with the New England Patriots, winning Super Bowl 38 and 39. He was actually a first-round selection by the Patriots back in 2002. He also spent time with the Denver Broncos, Tennessee Titans, and New Orleans Saints. Daniel, it's a pleasure to get you on the show today. I really appreciate you making time for us to share some stories.
Oh, appreciate it. No problem.
Daniel, let's start by talking about your career. I mean, all in all, you got to play with some terrific quarterbacks over the course of your career. What was your time like when you played with the Patriots?
It was a good time. When I got to New England, that was the first time I really learned football. It demands so much out of the players, and, I got to learn how to be a professional up there.
Yeah, they say a lot of the players I've talked to that have played with the Patriots and with other organizations have said it's just a different atmosphere. It's a different mentality. I mean, is that true? You played for some other franchises, and how does it differ from those other franchises, if it does?
It is. There's a big difference, playing in New England. And, for me, being drafted by the Patriots, I thought that this is how the entire NFL was, ran. Everyone ran their organization. And when I left there and came to Denver, that's when I realized that, there's a big difference with, the Patriots and, other organizations, even with the other two that I played after Denver and Tennessee and New Orleans. It was a big difference. And I saw why the Patriots are always, in the playoffs, are always in the run for the Super Bowl every year.
I was going to ask you about that. Why? I mean, what sets them apart from some of the other franchises from a player's perspective?
The biggest thing is just the preparation. We in New England, prepared more than anybody else. And like I said, I didn't realize that until I left New England. But there, just the attention to detail, everything that we did during practice, showed up on Sunday as if we, saw it, we already saw it. And, that just helped us, go out and win on Sundays.
In that regard, is it the same with Tom Brady? I mean, you played again with Jay Cutler. I know you played with the Titans. You played with the Saints. You got to see Drew Brees up close as well. What sets Tom Brady apart from the other quarterbacks in the league? Is it a system or is it his preparation?
It's the system and the preparation. Tom is prepared and he does his part as a quarterback, just like every other position, every other player. In the New England organization, it's just preparation. And, I tell you what, I was fortunate 1 year to play with Drew Brees, and I saw his preparation. His preparation was second to none, and that's, what's made him a great quarterback in this league.
With that being said, I got to ask you, are you surprised that the New England Patriot dynasty has lasted this long? I mean, you won a Super Bowl with this team going all the way back to Super Bowl 38. Here we are now, Super Bowl 51, and we're talking about the Patriots once again with Tom Brady as their quarterback playing for another title. Does that surprise you at all?
you know, it doesn't surprise me at all. And that's, you know, because I've played in the organization. I understand, you know, what they do every week, you know, just to get ready for each game each Sunday. And, you know, so it doesn't surprise me at all. I know it surprises a lot of people who aren't familiar with the organization, but, you know, just playing there, I understand why they're there every year.
How much does the owner play into consistently winning, consistently performing at a high level? I mean, we talk about owners a lot. It seems like the only time we talk about an owner is when something is going wrong with an organization. Yet Robert Kraft has really found a pillar of consistency in New England. How much of that plays into the fact that this team has been successful stemming all the way back to 2000?
Yeah, you know, it plays a lot. You know, if you have an owner that can get the right coach in there and let the coach run his system like Mr. Kraft has done, you know, it shows for itself. You know, I mean, look at other organizations and other owners want to be so involved and stuff. And, you know, it just shows, you know, that, you know, they can't do everything, you know, to help that team be successful.
Again, our guest right now is Daniel Graham, former NFL tight end, played with the New England Patriots, won a couple of Super Bowls with the Patriots before finishing his career with the Broncos, Titans, and Saints. Daniel, I want to talk about your two Super Bowl victories. You were involved in two classic Super Bowls, two Super Bowls that came down to the final play and three-point wins for the Patriots.
You know what? It was, I tell you what, that first Super Bowl for me was just unbelievable feeling. You know, I was, like you said, I was drafted in 2002, the year after the Patriots won the first Super Bowl, and I was at that ring ceremony. As much as I didn't want to be there because I wasn't part of it, you know, my feeling was, you know, it was just so hard to get here. And, you know, at the time, I'm like, if I don't ever make it to the Super Bowl and win one, I don't want to be this, you know, to have this to be my experience, seeing the rest of the guys get the ring when I wasn't a part of it. And so, you know, after winning that first Super Bowl, it was, you know, an unbelievable feeling, especially, you know, with my father playing in the NFL for 7 years and never making it to the playoffs. It was just exciting, you know, exciting for him, you know, to see me win. And you know what, I tell you, after when I won the second one, it was almost like being spoiled, you know, like we expected to win this one. And so it wasn't as great as a feeling as the first one, but I'm, you know, blessed just to have two Super Bowl rings.
What do you remember most about the first game against Carolina, which you guys win by 3 points? Is there a specific moment in that Super Bowl that stands out to you?
You know, I tell you, after we scored a touchdown, you know, it was, or after we kicked the field goal, I think it might have been a minute or so left. And I was just thinking, like, you know, this game is far from over because the second half was totally different from the first half. And you know, their offense was clicking in that second half, and I'm just like, it's too much time left, you know, so you can't celebrate yet when we kick that field goal. But once the clock is zero, you know, it was just unbelievable feeling.
How about the game against the Eagles? I mean, I remember that one a little bit, just thinking back off of the top of my head. That was a pretty potent team. You guys go toe-to-toe with Donovan McNabb. Of course, Terrell Owens was a big storyline leading up to that Super Bowl and if he would play with the injury. And he did. And again, I mean, it was a classic one. You guys were involved in a game that went down to the wire.
You know, it was. And it was just, it was amazing to watch Terrell Owens perform after, you know, being injured the entire season. And, you know, the one thing that stands out is it was just amazing that, you know, the last drive, the Eagles weren't in that two-minute offensive mode, and it just surprised all of us. You know, we're like, do they understand how much time is left in the situation? And, you know, that was just amazing to see that, you know, they just weren't prepared for that situation.
What is it like to be on the sidelines as an offensive player with the game in the hands of your defense? I mean, that's got to be nerve-wracking as can be as well, right, late in the game?
You know, it's nerve-wracking, you know, but with the defense that we had, I mean, we knew that we can, you know, especially with knowing the Eagles had to go the entire distance down the field, we knew that we can get a stop with that defense that we had.
As far as going back and looking at your time in New England, is there an individual player that had the biggest impact on you as a player that was involved in your growth? Because, I mean, statistically, looking at your career, I believe your two most outstanding seasons that you had, based on production, was the 2 years you guys won the Super Bowl.
You know, I tell you, I remember my rookie year in New England, and Coach Belichick came to me and said, you know, if I can block Willie McGinnis and Mike Vrabel, I could block anybody in this league. And, you know, on that note, you know, the Patriots are the one that's labeled me a blocking tight end. I don't consider myself a blocking tight end. but all around tight end. But, you know, as far as that aspect of the game, being a blocking tight end, learning from those guys, you know, Willie was just a big guy, so I learned how to block bigger guys. And Mike Vrabel was so good at getting my hands off of him, I learned how to, that's where I say I learned how to hold. And those two guys really helped my career as far as the blocking level of, you know, my game. Go to the top of the, you know, league as far as being a blocking tight end.
The media members, they see Bill Belichick in a light where he's very quiet, very soft-spoken, right to the point, sometimes gives us a snarky answer, which is hilarious as far as, you know, preparation leading up for the week. Is that Bill Belichick behind closed doors with the team as well?
Yeah, it is, you know, and he has a dry sense of humor. You know, Coach Belichick is all about business, and he expects and demands so much of the team. And, you know, the one thing that I admire most about Coach Belichick is that he's fair from Tom Brady to the last person on their roster. You know, it doesn't care who you are, what you make. Everyone is treated equal, and I love that about him.
Again, our guest right now is Daniel Graham, former tight end for the New England Patriots, won two Super Bowls back in Super Bowl 38 and 39. Daniel, when your time with New England comes to a close, you moved on, you played for the Denver Broncos. Now, you mentioned your father, who also played in the NFL. He played professionally for the Denver Broncos as well. Did that play in your decision to move on and join the Broncos?
You know, it played a little bit. You know, the biggest decision for me, my daughter was back here in Denver, and I wanted to be close to her, and so that was the number one reason. You know, after that, you know, just growing up, loving the Broncos, being a Bronco fan, knowing my father played here, knowing everyone who saw me play in high school, saw me play in college, can now see me play at the professional level, and, you know, it was just fun to come home and put on that helmet that I grew up, you know, for the team that I grew up loving and watching. And, you know, it's very rare that people get to play for the team that they grew up, you know, watching, you know, play for that team.
That first year you're in Denver, if I remember right, the team finished below 500. I want to say they were 7-9, if I can remember correctly. How frustrating was that for you as an individual player?
You know, it was frustrating, you know, just leaving New England and just seeing the professionalism on that team, that organization. When I got to Denver, you know, it was some players there, you know, that really didn't have that professionalism and, you know, go out and be a professional. And that was difficult, you know. And I say, you know, I couldn't, you know, didn't want to take anything for granted. I learned you can't take anything for granted because I never went to the playoffs again after I left New England.
You did get a play for Josh McDaniels in Denver. What was the difference, at least in your mind, between Josh McDaniels in New England? I know he's back there right now and as a head coach. I mean, could you tell a difference between Josh McDaniels, and do you believe that he's grown enough to where we can see him in the head coaching position again in the future?
You know, Josh was the same when he got to Denver as he was when I was there in New England and as he is now in New England. You know, I mean, he just demands and, you know, expects so much out of the players. And, you know, he tried to bring that Patriot mentality, that professionalism to Denver. You know, it didn't work for him there, but I guarantee he will be a great head coach sometime. You know, he's a great coach.
Was inexperience, or I guess you could say his youthness, I mean, was that a problem for Josh McDaniels in Denver? What went wrong there?
Yeah, you know, I don't think it was a problem. You know, I think in my opinion, the biggest issue was that you go, you know, with what Josh demands, you know, and just how the Patriots are. You know, he brought that to Denver. The guys weren't used to that. And, you know, it was they weren't used to putting in so much work and the demand and stuff. And, you know, you got prima donnas on the team who, you know, couldn't take that. And, you know, I think that was the biggest issue. Everyone, the whole team, did not feed into what Josh was trying to bring to the Broncos.
And again, I'm sure that was just a complete frustration for you as a player coming from someplace in New England where they did demand excellence out of themselves all the way around. It was more of a cohesive unit is what it sounds like.
You know, it was. And it's, you know, other than that, you know, I mean, I enjoyed my time here in Denver. I got to play with some, you know, great guys and stuff. And although I didn't make it to the playoffs, didn't have a chance, you know, to win a title here in Denver, you know, I still enjoy my time here.
Well, let's move on and talk about Super Bowl 51. I'm sure that as being a Patriot alum, I'm sure you're extremely excited for this particular game. What stands out to you in this matchup?
I tell you what stands out is just the weapons that the Falcons have. And, I think the biggest challenge is going to be for the Patriot defense to slow this offense down. You know, they have so many weapons, and I'm looking forward to seeing, what Coach Belichick, the defense, what they put together to stop this offense.
It's been a very long time, at least in my mind. I mean, I love Julio Jones. It's been a long time since we've had a player this dynamic on the outside in the Super Bowl. And we talked about Terrell Owens a little bit earlier on in the interview. There's some similarities as far as the explosiveness and how you always have to pay attention to where Julio Jones is out on the field, very similar to the way Owens was.
You do. You have to, see where he is at all times. And everyone knows that he can catch a 5-yard pass and turn it into 60 or 70. And, when someone like that, you have to account for them on every play. And, the special player that he is, even if he doesn't touch the ball, it opens up the rest of the offense. And, and I think that's what really gets that offense going.
Daniel, I'm not a big guy on legacy talk. In fact, I hate it. Rarely talk about it here on the show. But, of course, every time Tom Brady is in a Super Bowl, people start talking about legacy. Has there ever been a better quarterback in the NFL in your eyes? And if there has been, could another Super Bowl win, getting number 5, does that put him over the top?
I already think he is the best quarterback. If you look at, I understand, the quarterbacks in the past, there were great quarterbacks, Joe Montana and, Terry Bradshaw, which a lot of people don't even talk about as far as the ring counts go. But one thing that separates, Tom from the rest of these quarterbacks is that, back when Joe Montana played, these guys were on the team 5-6 years. They didn't leave. Every year it might be a new team for Tom, and he's doing this with guys that nobody's even heard of. It's a new team for him, it seems like, every year. And so for him to be that consistent, no matter who's on the field to take, the team back to the Super Bowl, it just sets itself apart.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. It's definitely been fun to watch, to say the least. Before I let you go, I can't let you leave without giving us a prediction. How does the Super Bowl play out?
Of course, the Patriots are going to win. And I tell you what, I think it's going to be about 35-24 Patriots.
I've said all week I like the Patriots to win by 2 scores. I know the spread right now has them at 3, but I like them to win by double digits. I mean, really, when you take a look at the Falcons, yes, Vic Beasley has been fantastic. The pass rush has picked up, but there's a big difference between New England's front 5 compared to Green Bay and Seattle. Huge difference in that regard.
It's a big difference. And like I said, I think the biggest matchup, in my opinion, of this game is the Patriot defense versus the Atlanta Falcons offense. I don't think the Patriots are going to have an issue scoring on their defense.
Yeah, I agree with you. Definitely. Daniel Graham, again, former tight end for the New England Patriots, also played for the Broncos, Titans, and the Saints. It was a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for sharing some of the memories and giving us some of your insight in Super Bowl 51. It was definitely a pleasure to get you on today.
Thank you. No problem. Take care.
Definitely a pleasure. That's 2-time Super Bowl champion Daniel Graham giving us some insight on Super Bowl 51 this weekend, also sharing some stories about his time with the New England Patriots. Now, that was a blast to get some insight and hear some of the stories from his playing days. Daniel Graham, 2-time Super Bowl champ, joining us on the show. We've got a break for just a moment, but we do have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Castleview Hospital would like to thank the 2017 Castleview Board of Trustees for all their hard work and dedication in making the community healthier. Thank you to Lamar Guyman, Scott Justison, MD, Glenn Etzel, MD, Eric Lyman, MD, John Pressett, MD, Bryce Briner, Errol Holt, CEO Mark Holyoke, Mike Jensen, and Colleen Loveless. Your hospital and the community you serve appreciate all that you do.
Sutherland's has the solution for all your last-minute gifts. We have great gifts at great prices for DIYers and contractors alike. Save over 50% on winter work coats. Right now, only $16.99. Or save $100 on a 10-inch DeWalt job site table saw with a rolling foldable stand. Visit our Dollar Center today. We have over 100 great tools that work perfectly for stocking stuffers for only $1. No matter your budget, Sutherland's has the perfect gift at a great price. Sutherland's, helping you build it better.
Hi, this is Joe Peterson, the Chancellor of USU Eastern. I'm here to brag about an amazing student we have representing USU Eastern. Chandler Vincent is a welding student here at USU Eastern. He recently flew to Huntsville, Alabama to compete in the U.S. Open Welding Trials. After 4 days of nonstop welding, Chandler was named the USA WorldSkills Welding Champion. With this title, Chandler won $40,000 in tools and scholarships from the American Welding Society. Congratulations, Chandler. For more stories about the incredible students that we have here at USU Eastern, see our website, usueastern.edu.
Tis the season for shopping, and sales seem to be popping up everywhere. Well, Desert View Federal Credit Union has got a sale for you. How about a car loan for 2.99% APR? That's right, now you can save on interest too by getting your auto loan at Desert View Federal Credit Union. Go ahead, get that new car for Christmas. This holiday loan special won't be around for long, so be sure to get into a branch today.
Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA.
You were listening to the best of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Hey, this is Eric Amarola, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports on AM 750.
We are back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, live at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. And to this final segment, it's going to be a fun one. We're going to bring in David Reagan, driver of the number 38 Ford Fusion for Front Row Motorsports. And he's joining us right now in the media room. David, I appreciate you making time for us, taking time out of your busy schedule to come join us.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We got a little bit of downtime between practice and qualifying, and Here at Las Vegas, it's always a fast Friday for sure. The track has a lot of grip, and even though they keep taking a little downforce away from us each and every year, the speeds are always pretty high on Friday.
Do you look forward to this Vegas trip each year? I mean, I know you guys travel all over the place. Obviously, Vegas has a little bit of luster to it, right?
Yeah, it's fun to come to Las Vegas. Obviously, when I was a 21, 22, 23-year-old, it was a big deal for me to come. And, you know, you gamble, you get to see some, you know, neat things that you don't get to see at every stop on the NASCAR circuit. And you stay in some great places, eat at some great restaurants. And, you know, the city is a lot of fun to hang out and enjoy your downtime before you get to the racetrack. But since they reconfigured the track, the Neon Garage, it's a neat experience for our whole industry. You know, we enjoy coming to tracks that cater to the fans, that have a good turnout, and this track's one of the best that they pack the seats. They have a lot of access to the fans where they can see what we're doing, see what we're working on. So, yeah, it's definitely one of our top five or six venues of the year.
I was going to ask you that. I mean, do you have a particular track that you look forward to, maybe that you circle on your calendar going into the racing season?
You know, I like tracks for a lot of different reasons. I enjoy Martinsville as much as any track just because it's got an old school feel. I like the short track. I like the racing there. Now, there's not much to do, not much to eat, but it's a short drive up from Charlotte. My family can go. So I do like tracks for reasons like that, but I do enjoy going to Phoenix and Vegas. The weather's nice. It's a lot of fun stuff to do outside the racetrack, some hiking, some good restaurants. But you find something fun to do at all the racetracks over the years. Even the track that you don't like the most, you find that neat thing to do on a Saturday afternoon when all the racing activities are done for the day, or you know, you might have a good airport that's easy to get in and easy to get out of. So you find some of those things that are unique. But as far as a racing track and surface, Vegas is a good track. I wouldn't say it's one of the best tracks just because we need the asphalt to age a little bit more, and where we can get and run that third groove, and Goodyear can bring a little bit more aggressive tire to where we lose some grip throughout a run. So as far as the track surface, I think there's still some improvements over time that will help that. But everything else about the race in Vegas and what Bruton Smith and the Speedway Motorsports Group does, it's a fun stop.
You've had 10 career starts here at Las Vegas. What are some of the difficulties that a driver will encounter on this intermediate track, I guess is what they consider it?
Yeah, track position is so important here because of the few things I talked about earlier. It is difficult to pass. You don't have that third lane that you can move up and really create a lot of momentum and make passing easier. So a lot of the cars are forced to run the middle two lanes, you know, lane and a half. The bottom is the preferred lane around Las Vegas Motor Speedway. So it is tough to pass. Track position is important. You got some bumps getting into turn one, which the guy who wins the race, he'll be able to get over those bumps and get to the bottom, keep up his corner speed very good. And the guys that run you know, 30th or 25th or struggle, they're going to be bouncing and moving around. And so that's a real important part of the racetrack, getting through turns one and two. And then on exit of turn four, it always seems to lose grip, and you see some accidents there. It kind of narrows up where you exit turn four and the front straightaway starts. So, yeah, there's a few little trouble spots that you'll see some action at on Sunday. But Vegas is it's a fast track. It still has a lot of grip from the repave a few years ago, and it always puts on a good show.
Again, our guest right now is David Ragan, driver of the number 38 Front Row Motorsports car. Of course, you'll be able to listen to live NASCAR coverage this Sunday here on KOAL 1230 with the Cobalt 400. So, David, Front Row Motorsports, you're back. I mean, you left, now you're back at Front Row Motorsports. What's that transition been like for you?
It's been really easy. It goes back to when you're a young guy or anyone that's listening out there and your parents tell you don't burn a bridge. That's the truth. They need to listen to that comment, because I was at Front Row Motorsports for 3 years, had a great relationship with Bob Jenkins and Jerry Fries and the competition staff, and so I left to go fill in for Kyle Busch and ended up racing a Toyota for two seasons, and then found myself back at Front Row. A lot of familiar faces, Bob Jenkins and Brad and his family. They've been very good friends even throughout the transition when I wasn't racing for them. So it was a lot of fun to get back and see a lot of the guys that were still working at the shop. And I think that the Front Row team has done a great job getting the race cars a little bit faster. They've got a very good agreement with Roush Fenway Racing to get some parts and pieces and some engineering support from. And then we've had a very good first part of the year, having some new partners and sponsorship announcements on our Fords of mine and Landon's car. And so we're in a good position at Front Row Motorsports with Juice Batteries on our car. This weekend at Las Vegas, we've got Camping World and Good Sam on our car for a lot of races this year, along with Jacob Companies and some of the great sponsors that they've had. So, yeah, overall, it was an easy transition back in a place that I feel comfortable with and, you know, proud to be there trying to make a difference and make the team better.
You mentioned Landon Castle. What kind of relationship do you have with your teammate?
Yeah, Landon's a great racer. I think he's very smart. He's intelligent. We've been around the garage for a long time. We're similar age, a similar background. We grew up racing late model style cars on the asphalt short tracks around the country. So I've got a lot of respect for Landon, and we don't really, I'd say we don't hang out a whole lot outside of the racetrack. And I think that being a teammate, some of that will change, and it'll give us an opportunity to get to know each other's family some and spend some more time with each other. So often you see a lot of guys in the garage for years and years, but you don't really get to know them until you've got a similar interest or something that makes you spend time with each other. But Landon's, I think he's a talented race car driver. I think he and I are going to work well together, and we already have. Kind of lean on each other at different times and help the Fords at Front Row Motorsports be faster.
You also mentioned Juice Batteries. You guys had an exciting announcement out just a few moments ago. It's been a great year for you sponsorship-wise, hasn't it?
Yeah, we've been able to sign some new partners to Front Row, like I mentioned before, and then they've got CSX and Love's Travel Stops, some of the partners that have been there for multiple seasons back and that continue to make their programs bigger and better. So that's a great thing about the sport. Bob Jenkins has made an investment year after year to keep growing his team, but we've had some good partners and sponsors that have recognized that and have been able to grow along with us. So the addition of Juice Batteries for multiple races this year on the 38, it's a new brand. They're going to be in some retail outlets around the country with some rechargeable AA, AAA batteries that the technology in the battery world hasn't evolved like the technology in the electronics world. So they did a nice hybrid battery that lasts a long time, that's rechargeable, that we can use in a lot of our devices that require a AA or AAA battery. So they're exciting new brand that we can use at Front Row Motorsports as we're racing, and that the fans can get a chance to see firsthand, and they can leverage their NASCAR relationship to get in the door of some retailers around the country. So yeah, we've got a good fit, and we're very blessed to have a lot of races that are already sold on our car.
A couple of more questions for you if you got the time.
Yep.
All right, let's get to know David Ragan outside of racing. So what's it like if it's off season, you got a weekend free, what's David Ragan doing?
You know, before kids, we would pack up and go travel somewhere. My wife and I have been together for a long time. We dated for several years before we got married, and so we enjoyed to travel. When she got out of college, she worked some part-time, so it allowed us to go and do a lot of fun stuff over the off-season. And our off-seasons are so short. We raced from Valentine's Day to Thanksgiving, and so we only have a couple of months that we can go and do some things. But even during that time, we've got other obligations with NASCAR, maybe some of the TV partners, some of the media outlets and different things. So now we've got two little girls and two little kids at the house. So usually whatever they want to do, we stay home a lot because it is fun to just stay home. But yeah, as they get a little older, we'll go do some trips and vacations. I live in Charlotte. My family's in Georgia. My wife's family's in South Carolina. So we stay in the Southeast, visit some family, and just kind of stay low-key over the off season.
If I was to pick up your iPod, what would I find on it?
Well, I don't think I even have an iPod anymore.
Me neither. You and me are probably the only two in the world that don't.
I think that some of my songs, you get lost. Some are on my computer. Some are on my phone. But I'm not a big music guy. I'm kind of a 90s and 2000s country guy.
Okay.
I don't really like some of the new pop country. I like more of the, you know, older school, not like, you know, 70s and 80s country, but, you know, your Alan Jackson and Diamond Rio and, you know, some of the older 1990s when I was a teenager. So, I'm kind of boring, man. I listen to podcasts and like talk radio a lot more than I do music.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm quite fond of talk radio.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good. That's a good thing for you.
As far as maybe an influence in David Reagan's career, I mean, was there a driver or a particular person in this sport that you kind of looked up to as a kid that you kind of used that as inspiration to get to where you're at today?
I was a big Dale Jarrett fan and a Bill Elliott fan, being from Georgia. Bill Elliott was winning a lot of races in the 90s and even early 2000s, and so I was a big Bill Elliott and a Dale Jarrett fan. But I didn't really get to know those guys any until I started racing some. But my father was a racer. He owned an automotive repair shop and a parts store. So I kind of grew up being a hands-on guy around the race shop and going to the racetrack some with him. So I'd say he's definitely the biggest motivation and someone that I could lean on as a teenager and as a young guy trying to make it in the world of stock car racing, because he had some experience. He was a good motivator. He's a hard worker. He's a very smart guy. So definitely my father was someone that I could lean on as I was trying to get into the world of NASCAR racing.
We'll end with this. 25th at Daytona, 23rd at Atlanta. What's it going to take to log a top 10 finish here at Las Vegas on Sunday?
We've got to have a good car, but really just a perfect day. I think those two races, Atlanta and Daytona, we had opportunities to run in the top 10 at Daytona. We had the opportunities to run in the top 15, maybe 18 in Atlanta. And so just a few small mistakes on our behalf, calling the race a little bit better. We need to make better adjustments throughout the race. These 400 and 500 mile races, the track changes a lot. The track changes from Friday to Saturday to Sunday. And so working with Derek Finley for the first time in a few years, Derek has been a competition director. He hasn't been calling races the last couple of seasons. So I think he needs to get a little more comfortable. Our pit crew's been doing a nice job, but we can just kind of clean up our act a little bit. I think that the competition level in the Monster Energy Cup Series is so difficult that you've got to have an excellent day just to run in the top 10, and it's got to be almost perfect to have an opportunity to win. So if you have any mistakes like Kevin Harvick did last week, speeding on pit road, or some of the guys that have a mistake, you're in 25th before you know it. So it's extremely tough to run in the top 20, and we've got to make sure that we are smart with our race car on Saturday night and Sunday. I can't make any mistakes, and you just have to be flawless, because the competition is so difficult. If you make a mistake, they're going to be right there to jump on you.
David, I really appreciate you taking out the time to come and join us. Thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. Best of luck over the weekend. I know it's not just Sunday for
That's
you guys.
Right.
I mean, the
That's
spectators
right.
may see it as that, but I mean, it's a full weekend for
yep.
you.
Yeah, we're glad to be here. We appreciate all the fans listening. Enjoy coming out, and thank you guys for having us, and we'll see some of you on Saturday and Sunday.
KOAL, Price, Utah.